At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Man, as far as Tuesdays go, for the Mississippi State fan base, our Tuesday went over like a legalized marijuana shirt at a Pentecostal down south revival. It was not a good Tuesday for Mississippi State. We're going to break it all down today. There'll be some good things, be some bad things. We're just going to kind of give it to you straight. But tomorrow I will be on the road to Houston, Texas. And so if you are a Gene's Page subscriber, tomorrow you'll be able to read an interview with Rice head baseball coach Jose Cruz Jr. as he kind of talks about his experience at Rice and about the matchup this weekend on Friday. So Friday, it's 11 a.m. start. So I plan to be at the ballpark pretty much all day, every day. So your Friday show will probably come to you Friday night. We'll see how things go. I'm bringing all the equipment with me. Everybody can relax about that. We'll do the best we can. But the show must go on. So no Friday morning show, I don't think. You never know. I may do it tomorrow night. Depends on how I feel. But we'll see how things go. But again, I'm leaning towards Friday night. So we'll recap Mississippi State's game against Rice. Of course, some big basketball to be played this weekend. Looking forward to all that. We did not play well last night. We didn't expect to play well last night. And that's what sucks, man. You know, it's like when you go into these games, and that's what makes that Oklahoma loss feel so much bigger, right? It's like you knew you had to go to Tuscaloosa on Tuesday. And that may be the worst matchup in the conference for Mississippi State. Nate Oates, they thrive on perimeter play. We have really struggled this year to defend the perimeter. And it all just kind of came to bear last night. So it is what it is. But, you know, we look forward to kind of moving forward. When you win some, you lose some. But, you know, Mississippi State still projected to be, some people have us on the 5 line, some on the 6 line. So we're in the tournament. We don't want to get this hysterical social media traffic going and people kind of thinking, oh, well, we're not going to make the tournament, or we don't deserve to make the tournament. You know, we deserve a lot of things, and you have to look at the totality of the season in every sport, right? So I share that with you because I think it's important for us to kind of have some balance with all of this. There are many of you that call me at times the voice of reason. Others think I'm a sunshine pumper, but, you know, I'm going to talk about the good and the bad. And I'm not going to get on here and rant and rave and advocate for coaching changes and things of that nature because I just don't think that's productive to Mississippi State. I support every coach that we have as long as they are the coach at Mississippi State. And, you know, some would say that maybe I was a little bit hypercritical of Ben Howland. And, you know, that's fine. I'll wear that because I think Ben Howland incredibly underachieved here at Mississippi State given the talent that he was, you know, basically given. And let's be honest about that. I mean, if we hadn't had all those legacy players, you know, come through, then maybe a different story. So he was dealt a good hand. He didn't cash in. And, you know, the thing that I keep going back to, and as bad as last night was, we remain on the precipice of making the NCAA tournament for the third time in a row. That's only been replicated one time in school history. So no matter how this thing plays out, to suggest that perhaps we're not on solid footing is just incorrect. Still believe in Chris Jan, still believe in this team, but it is a terrible, terrible matchup for Mississippi State to play Alabama with their current offensive system. And, you know, that's kind of how we are. You know, so let's kind of dig into it. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I think the plan is for us to have Bulldog Burger Company today. We wanted to have it yesterday, and by the time we got a chance to get it all together, it was too late. But yeah, pimentology, add bacon. That is the move for me today with some onion rings. I think we'll do that. You know, I'm kind of a riddle wrapped inside of an enigma. I can't stand onions, but I love onion rings. I know it's weird, but it's true. I'm not alone, though. I didn't choose this life. It's just, you know, I eat uncooked onions, and it ruins my day. And you know, the rest of the day, I don't feel good. I can't eat, you know. So you can have onions all you want. My wife loves them. And then she tries to come kiss me with that onion breath. But, you know, the things we do for love. You'll love Bulldog Burger Company if you don't already. They do it right. And I love going in there because I know the consistency is key. I know when I go in there, I'm going to have a good experience. The food is great. The atmosphere is great. The pricing is great. The service is great. If you get it to go, the packaging is great. You can't go wrong with Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. Not to mention I'm going to Houston this weekend. I want to be looking my best. So I'm going to get some spring rolls tonight. Probably get that Nutella shake too, so I can polish it off with a palate cleanser. So many great options to choose from. Bulldog Burger Company, the place for people to go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, we'll start with baseball. We knew Troy was a quality club and top 25 matchup, so we knew we were going to have to play our best. We didn't play our best. At times, we showed some flashes and did some really good things, but ultimately didn't pull it off. And at Mississippi State, we expect to win those games. Simple as that. We do. We're now 6-2. We've lost both midweek games against top 25 opponents. And, you know, if we want to host, and everybody knows this, you got to pick up those games. Now, it's not like losing to Central Arkansas or even Austin Peay, but we can't stack up midweek losses. Everybody knows that. That's not a hot take. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a bad loss. Every loss is a bad loss. But as far as losses go, it wasn't a crushing loss, but it's not about the opposition. It's really more about us, right? And that's the thing that I want to talk about. We're going to go over some good things. We're going to go over some bad things, some things we got to do better. And we'll look a little bit ahead to into the weekend at Houston. Jacob Pruitt, when that was announced, some people were kind of skeptical. It's like, oh, you know, and of course, you had a very small sample size. You see him one inning in the seventh against Manhattan, and you think you know who he is. We had a chance to watch him throughout the spring. And the fall, he was really good at times, and there were other times he was a little bit erratic. Every pitcher kind of has some of that. But last night, Jacob Pruitt was outstanding. He goes four innings, and I saw some guys on Gene's page today saying, hey, we need to start him against Southern Miss next week. I agree. He dominated Southern Miss last week. He dominated Troy last night. Dominated Southern Miss last year when he was at Indiana State. But Pruitt, four innings pitch, one hit. It was a solo home run from former Diamond Dog Shane Lewis. Nine strikeouts, no walks, and just 60 pitches. To kind of just explain the dominance here. So you have 13 guys come to the plate. One hits a home run. The rest of them get out. Only four guys in four innings even put the ball in play. He had a fly out and two ground outs, and of course, the home run. And I think the first fly out came on the first hitter. I think that's right. I think Myers is the one that hit that. But Jacob was outstanding. And we talk about this all the time. You know, these non-conference games are a chance for you to kind of figure out who you can trust. And I think most of us, if we're conducting a poll, we're not. But if we were, we would say, you know what? If Pruitt can kind of keep this thing up, then there's a chance for him on a weekend. And you need to have that four starter. Everybody knows this. It's a long year. And you never know when somebody's going to have some tightness or, you know, need a weekend off. You never know when it's going to happen. And so it's nice to have that. That's one thing you can walk away last night and say, you know what? If we get that version of Jacob Pruitt, it probably makes us a better team on the weekends. JT Schnur made his Mississippi State debut. It did not go well. And this is a guy that set a record. Pearl River for wins in a season. And he was a little bit up and down this fall, but he was a JUCO guy acclimating to throwing against SEC hitters. There were some days he was really good and some days that he wasn't. He wasn't good last night. And one third of an inning, he comes in, and a lot of people are like, wait a minute, why are we pulling Pruitt? Now, others, the snarky ones, would say, yeah, but, you know, you didn't want him to pitch. Why are you wanting to pull him? Guys, I want to win a ball game, okay, like all of you. I want to win a ball game. So it didn't matter to me. I expected Jacob to bounce back at some point, and he did last night. And you start thinking, okay, why we pulled him? Well, you know, this time of year, you know, you don't want to elongate guys, but you also got to get some guys some work. And I know people don't like it when I say that, but the reality of it is this is what the non-conference games, especially the midweek games, are for. How do you know how JT Schnur is going to handle Division I hitters unless you give them the opportunity? Didn't work out well. It's not to say that we've seen the last of him. He is a very talented guy, but he did not show it last night. Four hits, four runs, three of them earned. He gets a walk and a strikeout and faces six hitters. And, five of them got the better of him. Four got a hit, one got a walk in 25 pitches. So it wasn't good. And that's really where the game turned. However, we were able to overcome that. Gavin Black makes his 25 debut, the long-awaited debut, comes out and he's in the fire, gets you the big strikeout, and you think, man, we may be able to get out of this thing with limited damage. That's what you think. And we end up walking in a run, and then we have a wild pitch. So we gift them two. And every pitch matters. Like, we all focus on, you know, the eighth, and we're going to get to that. But this whole scenario here in the fifth, JT wasn't good. Gavin walks in a run and then has a wild pitch. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, you know, if you don't throw the wild pitch. But, you know, that hitter gets out, right? And so in a one-run ball game, it all matters. But people always say it never boils down to one pitch, and it doesn't. Some would suggest that it does. But every pitch throughout a ball game matters. You get the strikeout instead of the walk and that full count to Cavill. Saves two runs. That's how significant that pitch was. Instead, you walk him and then it's a wild pitch, so you compound it. So, you know, making one pitch there gets us out of there in a 3-0 ball game rather than a 5-0 ball game. I'm not putting this on the shoulders of Gavin Black. I'm just trying to illustrate a point here. As big as the eighth was, the fifth was as big or bigger. And as great as we were pitching last night, with rare exception, these pitches stand out. And Gavin Black goes one inning, allows one hit, the walk, and a couple strikeouts. No runs charged to his ledger sheet. And so 27 pitches, thought he was good. Evan Sieri was filthy. You know, and he's the guy, too, that's been with us for a little while. You weren't quite sure what to expect. He's had two outings now. He's been really good. He goes 1 1/3 last night and gets 3 Ks and has the one hit by pitch, just one that got away from him. But he was outstanding. And that's what you need. Like, you come out of this thing, you know, the game is now tightened up a little bit. You need a hold from your bullpen. And what do you know? Sieri gives you one. And then Ben Davis, of course, comes in who, you know, Lamona said in spring training, he goes, nobody's talking about this guy, but he's going to throw big innings for us. And he did. Unfortunately, you hate that as well as you pitched. He gives up one hit, and it proves to be the game winner, the home run in the top of the ninth. Guess he faced 9 hitters, and he struck out 5 of them. No walks. So the ledger sheet for the Bulldog pitching staff yesterday, 20 strikeouts and 2 walks. That's it. I mean, and you look up, you're dominating this Troy lineup, and you're down by 2. I mean, it's like it's nuts the way these things kind of work out at times. But the pitching staff did their job for the most part. But again, you go back to this, I mean, you know, and you don't want to put it all on Gavin Black, obviously. I mean, he's going into a very difficult situation. You know, bases loaded and one out. And ends up giving up 2 runs. Well, the 2 runs belong to JT Schnur. I mean, JT has got to do a better job. Simple as that. Got to do a better job. This is big boy baseball, you know. We signed him for a reason. The guy was a winning pitcher. We need him to continue to do well for us. But I go back to, and again, we magnify the eight because that's when everybody was kind of on their feet, right? But we didn't lose this ball game in the eight. That was part of it. But I go back to the first inning. Garrett Frey, who had three hits last night, probably needs to start. I know he's not the best defensive second baseman, but you got to find a way to get him in the lineup. Guy has, you know, hits a tank on Sunday and comes out and gets you three hits on Tuesday. He's telling your coach, hey, coach, I need to be in the lineup. I think we all agree. But gets an infield hit that there was no shot on this play. None whatsoever. Great job by the shortstop just to even keep it on the infield. But there was no chance. Heifel then hits a soft liner out to short. And then A strikes out looking. I didn't like the call on strike three. But that understood your Division I hitter, you got to fight that ball off. But it felt like that fastball kind of tailed in on him a little bit. Noah Sullivan then comes up and singles on an 0-2 pitch through the right side. You know, Fry's over there, you know, takes third. And so now you get runners at first and third, and you got Hunter Hines up, right? And that's a bonus for us this year, having Hunter back. Did not have a good night. But in these situations here, you know, you got to be the guy. You have to be the guy. He knows this. We know this. And he's had some big swings this year, but he has really struggled with consistency. But Hines strikes out swinging here. Lengthy at bat. He gets ahead in the count 2-0 and then takes a strike, fouls a couple balls off, and then goes down swinging. But that's a missed opportunity for us. I mean, you've got a chance, you know, to go on out there and get first blood there and get some things going. So traffic on the bases, and we don't cash in. We go back to the second. Bryce Chance just hits an absolute blister back up the middle. And then he's still second. So here you go. You've got a runner in scoring position with nobody out in a 1-0 ball game, right? You've already given up the Shane Lewis home run. But you got a chance to answer right back here. And then Stallman strikes out swinging. Lengthy at bat. We actually get down 0-2, work it full, go down swinging. Downs then grounds out to short. And Chance takes third. And then Cup flies out. But here we go. You're basically, you earn it, right? But you're spotted the leadoff runner on base and you get him in a scoring position and then you can't get a ball out of the infield until there's two outs. You know, missed opportunity. Let's go ahead and look a little bit deeper into this here. You get into the third, bottom of the third. Now, we get two out quickly, but we have a little bit of a two-out rally and Ace Reese doubles to right center. And then they walk Noah Sullivan. So now you've got two men on. You need a two-out base hit. You got Hunter Hines up. And the very first pitch, we ground out the first. So in the first three innings, we have a runner in scoring position in each of those innings. And we come away empty. Now in the fourth, we go 1-2-3. So we can't complain too much about that. All right, we get to the fifth. And we finally get to this pitcher. And I didn't think he was great. He was pretty predictable. And that's one of the reasons I think you had so much traffic early on is because the Bulldogs had a good scouting report. We just couldn't get the clutch base hit. We finally get it here in the fifth. And it's all started, Dylan Cup, singles. It's an infield single, but there was, again, no play. There's no play to be had there. Just hitting the right spot. And then Fry's hit by the pitch. So we've kind of got him on the ropes a little bit. They have the mound visit. And then Heifel comes up and slaps a single on 0-2 to left. Now the bases are loaded. Nobody out. Reese comes up and he hits a bit of a laser out there to left. However, the left fielder gets it coming in. It's not deep enough to score, so we have to hold the runner. But at least I will say, even though we didn't convert here, pretty good situational hitting. It just didn't go the way we wanted to. Just didn't quite get enough on it. But we go out there and put a ball in play, and we're not rewarded for it. However, the baseball gods were smiling. Noah Sullivan comes in to face Grayson Stewart, a guy that he played before, he told us in postgame. Gets ahead in the count 3-0, takes the get-me-over strike, and gets a slider to his liking and hits it over the Ackerson Plaza. And right, it's now a 5-4 ball game, and the fans in attendance, the ones that were there, were into the ball game, and I appreciate them so much. It's like, here we go. we're back in it. It's a one-run ball game because after they go up 5-0, you start thinking, man, this is going to be a terrible, terrible night at Duty Noble Field. So 5-4, and Heinzen strikes out swinging.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And that was a common theme last night. I just kind of call it for what it is. I'm a Hunter Hines fan, but he didn't really help us last night at the plate. But that didn't end the rally. You know, Stewart's still out there, and he's come in the game. Reese hits a nice shot out to left. Sullivan hits a home run, and then Chance rips another ball back up the middle. Two out base hit, right? And then Stallman doubles to right field. Chance takes third. I think Stallman needs to be hitting more too. So again, a situation here where you have the opportunity to get even or get the lead, and we end up flying out to left center. And, again, it's a good inning with four runs in. Could have been a better inning, right? And, again, I commend Bryce Chance and Reed Stallman for good two-out hitting here to kind of keep hope alive and keep the inning alive. And we couldn't convert. So, again, it's not just about the eighth, and we're going to get to the eighth here shortly. All right, we get to the sixth, and, again, another opportunity for us here. All right, so Cup pops up to the second baseman, and then Fry just kind of lifts one towards left, and it kind of falls in that Bermuda Triangle thing. Like they're hoping it's foul. It's not foul. Ends up being a double. So, again, runner in scoring position in a one-run ball game with less than two outs. You got to find a way to get the run home, guys. Heifel then grounds out to third. Fry takes third. And what do you know? Ace Reese steps up. Clutch hitting. You know, and that's the thing, you know, again, maybe kind of an underlying point that we make here is, you know, maybe Ace is starting to get going a little bit. We know that he's a star. And, he comes up here and just hits a laser back up the middle. The game is tied, and then Sullivan walks. So now you've got runners at first and second. A chance to take the lead here. They take a mound visit, and Hunter Hines goes down swinging. And I don't want to feel like I'm dumping on Hunter Hines. He just happened to have a bad night last night. But in this sixth inning here, I mean, you look up, and it's like you get two hits and a walk in the inning. So you get three base runners in the inning, and you only get one out of it. You know, again, missed opportunities. Right? I mean, it is what it is. Okay, so we get to the bottom of the seven. We got 1-2-3 there. So, you know, nothing to really look at there and kind of focus on. We get to the eighth here. Good at bat from Cup. Even though he goes down swinging, he gets ahead 2-0. It ends up being a full count. He goes down swinging. We chase the ball out of the zone. And then Garrett Fry. You know, one of the first commitments we had in the portal class, and some people were critical of that, one of the first commitments, and he singles right through the right side. And this ball was absolutely laser. Blistered, whatever you want to say. He absolutely did a really good job here of hitting. So now you've got the go-ahead run on, And then, what do you know, on a full count and a great at-bat by Ross Highfield. Great at-bat. It's a 2-1 count, and he fouls off, what, four straight pitches? Just kept spoiling pitches. And I felt like at this point, I was like, Dick Penn is not going to be able to finish Ross. The stuff's just not good enough. He's not going to be able to do it because Ross was fouling off the slider and Ross was fouling off the fastball. And I turned to Mike Nemeth. I said, I don't think he can finish him. Because Ross had seen everything. Everything he had to throw. And he was able to do enough, even if he couldn't get a base hit, to kind of keep the at-bat alive. And ultimately, he's rewarded with the base on ball. So now, you got runners at first and second with just one down. They bring in the lefty specialist. And Jack Byers, who now works at Troy, one of our former students, a guy also, too, that was part of the media for a little while. He is the SID for baseball at Troy. How cool is that? And he tells me that Gorgon is like a left-handed killer. He said, like, the batting average against is like less than 100. I haven't seen the splits, but I got no reason to doubt Jack. So he faces Ace Reese, and what do you know? He walks him, too. So now the bases are loaded with one out, and everybody in Duty Noble Field is feeling it. I'm feeling it. You guys are feeling it. People are on their feet. Noah Sullivan's come up. Of course, he had the big fly. The grand slam, great time for his first home run. I'm thinking, here's an even better time for his second home run. I even turned to Mike Nemeth and said, when's the last time we had two guys hit two grand slams in a game? Let's be ready in case that research is necessary. We get ahead 2-1 here, foul it back, work it full, and then we wave it a slider down. Noah said it himself, if I walk there, we win. And it's not just about the walk. We got to put a ball in play, right? You know, because at this point in the eighth, routine fly ball to right gives State the lead. You know, base hit and green grass, and he's had some of those with the bases loaded. You're probably scoring two. But this was a huge at-bat for us, and it didn't work out. And I love the fact that Noah Sullivan goes in there in postgame and like takes accountability for it. He goes, hey, I got to be better. We got to be better. He goes, this place is too cool and too great for us to lose at home. And that's what you want to hear. But you really wanted to hear him talk about getting another big base hit. And so, again, we had some clutch hits in this ball game. We didn't get them here in the eighth. And then, of course, Hunter strikes out looking on three pitches. And he's pressing. I mean, he really is. And, Lemonis even mentioned last night, I got to look at the batting order and kind of chasing things up. And listen, as much as I love Hunter Hines, it might not hurt him to give him a day off. And maybe start Stallman at first. He's been swinging the bat pretty well and give Hunter a chance to kind of think about it. You know, I mean, I'm not anti-Hunter Hines in any way, but I think he'll tell you he's got to be better too. We need him to be a star. If we're going to get to Omaha, we need him to be really good. He's capable of being really good. There are stretches in his career where you couldn't even pitch to him. You just couldn't do it. Of course, they hit the home run on a 3-0 count, and it's so disappointing. There's two outs, and you get behind the hitter, and what do you know? He swings on 3-0 because you're throwing to get me over strike there. And he homers to right field, and you could just kind of feel it. But again, in the ninth, we have the opportunity again to at least pull even. Chance leads off with a fly out to right. 10 more push-ups, that's a home run. I mean, he pushed that ball hard out to right. And then Stallman doubles to left field. The tying run is on base with less than two outs. Aaron Downs is up. It's been pretty hot here as of late. He gets an elongated at-bat too. Gets down 0-1, works it at 3-1, gets the full count. And then ultimately walks. So now the tying run's at second. The winning run is at first. They go out and have a little bit of a mound visit. We bring in O'Brien for Stallman. And if you were like me, I'm thinking, hey, you know what? We're going to make this thing happen. Again, chance in the eighth, chance in the ninth. Again, tying run at second, less than two outs. Cup comes in and nearly hits a home run himself. 10 more push-ups, that's a home run. It's a 3-1 count. And he rips that ball to right. You know, and again, you're trying to mash something, right? You're trying to get a base hit. And he puts the ball in play there. Didn't work out for us. So Brian tags and takes third. And then, again, this is the one decision. And, again, the game always tends to find you, right? And I asked Chris Simonis about this, and he goes, you know, Garrick had a tough play defensively there in the seventh. We didn't want to get beat on defense. And, of course, I mean, with the gift of hindsight, it's easy to say. And it's incredible how this thing works out. You end up having a true freshman lefty having to face a guy that is dominant against left-handed hitters in place of a guy that had three hits on the night. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those crazy things. And, of course, it's easy to criticize. I wouldn't have made the move. But I also understand the thinking behind it. But and even when you've made that move, I'm starting to think, okay, you know the splits with this left-handed pitcher. To put a freshman in that situation, top 25 matchup, crowds on their feet, lefty-lefty thing, doesn't really favor you. I would have pinch hit there. And do I have Sawyer Eaves hit? I don't know. Sawyer's been struggling this year. You know, that no matter what you do, you're going to get criticized unless somebody comes through. And I'm just thinking, you know, do we have a right-handed stick? You know, there's somebody out there, because you've had back-to-back right-handers that have flared that ball with some velocity out the right field. I'm just thinking, you know what, hey, let's get a right-hander up. But instead, you know, we have to go do this. And we let Buckner hit, and very first pitch, he hits a chopper to second and grounds out. You know, if he comes through there, it's a defining moment in a young man's early career. But we lose. And every loss sucks. I mean, it just is. We're at Mississippi State, we expect to win. You know it's not realistic to win every game, but, man, we want to. We certainly do. But 13 hits for the Bulldogs. And what's interesting about that, too, like, I think sometimes we equate poor timely hitting with just bad hitting. Like, people say, well, you know, we're just not hitting the baseball. Well, that's not true. I think what we're struggling is we're just not bunching things together. Like, again, we just kind of illustrated how it went. I mean, you basically had scoring opportunities besides the solo home run in every single inning the second half of the ballgame. And certainly the first four innings, you had chances to make things happen. And, you know, again, I look here. Guys, so 13 hits against Troy. We had 12 on Sunday against Missouri State. We had 11 against him on Saturday. In eight games now, we've had five games with double-digit hits. So we're hitting the baseball. The issue is that we're struggling at times to get the big hit. And then last night, we did get a couple big hits. You know, Sullivan had a big hit. Ace had a big hit. But in the eighth and ninth, we couldn't get the big hit. And that, to me, is my opinion. And I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm just going to kind of call it for what it is, how I see it. It's a mental toughness thing, right? And this is a PG-13 show, so we're going to keep it as such. But one of the things that I think the last couple of years has taught me is just how tough a guy Tanner Allen was and is. And I remember riding Dogpile. I think the game always found T.A. in the eighth and ninth. And I think the one time that he didn't come through and we lost was against Missouri. You know, the game always, you know, it always feels that way. Like when we're pitching, it's like, oh my gosh, the ninth, we got to face their best hitter. Well, that happened for us in 21, and our best hitter came through. And that's what's got to happen with us this year. Our best hitters have got to come through. And we have more, I think, more quality hitters in this lineup than we had in 21. And I think when you go back and kind of look at the individual stuff here, and let's do that before we kind of get into Rice and then we'll get into basketball and our top 10 and everything else. But Noah Sullivan hitting 400 right now. He and Bryce Chance leading the team. And I saw somebody today, and I got to go back and correct this. Somebody said Bryce Chance has regressed. So what you're really telling me is you're not paying attention. You're just looking for something to go out there and gripe about, right? I mean, you're just trying to find something. There's enough to fuss about when we lose a ball game without making up something about Bryce Chance. Bryce Chance hitting 370, tied for the team lead with 10 hits, hitting behind Hunter Hines, and has been a rally starter for us at times. Lucas Buckner, we send him out there. Of course, you know, he's got about half the at-bats as the other guys, but he's hitting 357. He's got five hits. You know, and one of the things that the freshman did that maybe some of the veteran guys didn't do in those crucial situations late is at least he put the ball in play. Reed Stallman, a guy that has been a part-time starter for us. He's appeared in six games. He's got three starts, hitting .333. Got five hits. Aaron Downs, a part-time starter for us, got five hits, hitting .313. You know, Dylan Cupp, that was the big discussion. If Dylan Cupp can do this, if Dylan Cupp can hit .260, right now, eight games in, he's hitting .300. He's got six hits. In addition to that, you know, he's got, if I can find it here, he's got nine walks. So he's got an on-base percentage of .533. He's got more walks than anybody on the team. And how important is to have that guy in the nine hole, right? A guy that's going to turn the lineup over and give the leadoff hitter and hopefully the top third of the order a chance to hit with a run on. I mean, it's just Dylan Cupp's doing his job. Nolan Stevens hadn't played quite as much. But appeared in seven games, got four. He's hitting .286. And you look, Ace Reese, you're kind of getting him going. He kind of got off to a slow start. He had the first home run, then kind of tailed off a bit. But I've been a little bit better as of late. You know, he's hitting .241, so it's nothing to write home about. But I think when you look at what Ace has done maybe over the course of the last week or so, and we'll do that now because we like to deal with facts here. In Ace Reese's last three games, so he had two hits against Manhattan in the opener and then did not have a hit for four straight games. Beginning on Saturday, 2-for-5, 1-for-4, 2-for-4. So five hits in the last three ball games. So you're starting to kind of see Ace Reese kind of coming out of hibernation and kind of getting ready to go. You know, and so that's a part of this thing that I think is important for us to understand. You know, we got to get all the horses pulling in the same direction. And there's talent on this team, and we can't be losing these games. I'm not going to get out there and rant and rave and all this kind of stuff and, you know, go take the streets and things of that nature. It's a quality team. And you've got some guys that are showing some improvement, and you've got some guys, too, that need to get things going. But there's some people out there, it's like they make one comment with no data to support their take. And then other people are frustrated and people are disappointed, they just kind of run with it too. And they don't go double check it either. You know, I think it's important to understand offensively we have been better in the last week. We were good last night. We just couldn't get the big hit that ultimately wins the ball game. Now, real quickly here, we'll take a look at Rice. They're going to play tonight against Arizona. And so if you want an opportunity to kind of do some advanced scouting, I know some of you guys like to do that, you can do that. And tomorrow as I travel, you'll be able to read about their starter and about what Jose Cruz Jr. had to say. It's super cool to get him on the phone. Man, I'm a Giants fan. I told him, I said, man, you want to go glove with us? And I appreciate it. He goes, yeah, I wish I could have stayed there longer. Super cool guy, man. Super cool. But going into tonight's game against Arizona, and Arizona, you know, started out losing three in a row, and they won four in a row. So 2-4 for the Owls so far. And, you know, you would think that we played them more often. We haven't. We played them in 98 in College Station. Our buddy Brooks Bryan played in that game. I think that's right. I remember going out there, and if I remember correctly, with Richard Lee and Lauterhouse and Brad Freeman, Brian Weiss, of course, you know, we had some dudes on that team, for sure. But, we beat those guys 15-14 to knock them out of the tournament. But, 2-4 overall. And, they start out, I mean, it's been tough, right? I mean, like, they go to the Puerto Rico Challenge, and they lose to Villanova 10-6. They lose to Michigan 5-2. And then they lose to Virginia, kind of got after them a little bit. You know, Virginia got upset over the weekend. But Virginia's a good team. A lot of people expect them to make Omaha and win the ACC this year. But Virginia got them 7-0. Then you bounce back. They beat Sam Houston in a midweek game last week for their first win of the year. And then they gave USC all they wanted over the weekend. They had one game canceled due to weather, but they lose the Friday game in 11 innings. 7-4. I mean, you look at the number and say 7-4. Eight guys that went 11 innings, and he had a chance to win it in the ninth. And then you bounce back and you beat USC on Sunday 4-3. And so one of the things that stands out to me looking at this is runs against, right? Villanova put up 10 in the opener. But after that, it's been, you know, pretty common baseball scores. I mean, nobody has really kind of got after them, which tells me a little bit about their pitching. And it's not like they've played, you know, just, you know, Texas school for the disadvantaged children in Laredo. They played some quality competition. Looking at the numbers as a team, and offensively, they haven't been great. And I'll watch that game tonight. You guys can see. But Trey Dufield's leading the show with a .385 average. They only have three hitters hitting above .300. And, yes, I understand it's a small sample size. But of the regulars, Trey Dufield is hitting .385, Blaine Brown hitting .333. And from there, it kind of drips off pretty dramatically. Colin Robinson has played in three games, just 9 at-bats, got three hits, and he's hitting .333. Barrett Eldridge, three hits and 11 at-bats, hitting .273. Hiram Bocachica, I mean, I love the name. 4 hits and 16 at-bats, he's hitting .250. And then, like, from there, it really tails off. I mean, Trayton Rank is a guy that's hitting .240. He started all 6 games. Landon West, 14 at-bats, just 3 hits. And then from there, it's, you got some guys hitting under .200. You got some guys hitting, .150 or less that have played a lot of innings. So it's a little bit of a challenging offense for them. And, of course, they'll face Pico. On the pitching side of things, just we're going to look things at a staff here, and then we'll go over a little bit of their starter. But the ERA is 4.33. And, again, these are not high-scoring games. So it's not like you look up and say you expect to see a ton of unearned runs, but they're 7. You got 33 runs allowed and 26 of them earned. And that's a pretty big number at this point. It's basically one per game, right? It's just over one per game. You're giving a run away. Now, we are expected to see Davian Hickson. And you'll read more about him on Thursday at Gene's page. I'll make the scouting report free again, but you'll have to pay to read Jose Cruz Jr.'s comments. But Davian Hickson has been their regular Friday night guy so far. And I'll make the scouting report again free. We'll probably change that piece to a VIP piece as we get into SEC play. Kind of want you to get used to it. We've got some sources that we use to kind of get analytics, and we share that with you. But Davian Hickson is a 6'2", 208-pound right-handed pitcher by way of IMG Academy, a native of Palmetto, Florida. But hasn't worked real deep in the games this year. And I guess before we kind of isolate on this year, last year he had 27 appearances in relief for Rice, went 3-2 with a 3.62 ERA, worked 54 innings, allowed less than a hit per. That's big there. How many times we talk about it? You want to have less than a hit per. 39. Allowed 23 runs, 22 of them earned. Strikeout to walk ratio, not elite, 64-33. Allowed 5 doubles and triples and 2 home runs. Teams just hit .206 against him. So while the strikeout numbers may not be great, they're good, averaging over a strikeout per. And then the batting average against is one of those things you look at and say, hey, this is a guy that's he's getting outs. Probably a low-scoring game on Friday. In 2025, the year of our Lord, record is 0-0. So two no decisions, two appearances, and he's worked, basically, 4 to 5 innings per. And the trends kind of continue with him. 7 hits, so less than a hit per, and he's allowed 1 run in those 2 appearances. The bullpen hadn't been able to hold it, and then the strikeout-to-walk ratio is basically 2-1 again, 15-8. So again, a small sample size, but, Leopards rarely change their spots. But he is a quality starter, and we will have more on him tomorrow, and you'll have the opportunity to kind of read what we learned from our friends. But again, 2 quality outings, and worked 4 innings against Villanova, gave up 2 hits, struck out 8, but walked 5. You say, well, that usually gets you beat. Well, he didn't give up any runs. Also had a hit by pitch. So 6 free passes in the game against Villanova. And then against USC over the weekend, the team loses. But he works 5 innings, gives up a hit per. And not that I expect Villanova to be a great baseball school. USC, while they haven't been what they normally are, still a power four program. They get a hit per, so five hits in five innings and score the one run, three walks, seven strikeouts. So just one extra base hit allowed and nine innings pitched. So be prepared. It may be a pitcher's duel on Friday. So, you know, save your tweets. Go ahead and get ahead of the game and understand, at least for the first half of that ball game, we may see, Pico and Hickson kind of posting some zeros. So scoring early in that game is big. We're going to have to find a way to punch early. When I used to coach and we put guys like this, early in the game, I'd play for one. I'd play for one just to give us a lift and just to make them a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe that's what you do. You know, we'll see how things go. But don't be surprised if you look up on Friday and it's a 4-2, 4-3 type ball game. I mean, this is a guy that's a Friday night guy for a reason. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend, our shared friend in the mortgage industry. Give Blair a call or text today for all your mortgage needs at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. 24 years of experience, his expertise, and know-how are available to you. Maybe the dream of home ownership has eluded you. Blair can probably make that a reality for you, right? There's a reason. He's been around as long as he has. And so if you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look no further than Blair. You don't want to just go. It's not some willy-nilly decision. This is a grown-up decision you have to make. Blair can make sure that you get the best deal possible. He knows how to structure loans to give you the best chance for approval. Thus the name closewithblair.com. Licensed to practice in multiple states. Also a bulldog through and through, so be sure and hit him up. Get some information. And you never know. The moving truck may be moving you from a rental to an actual home. From a house to a home, you can plant some roots somewhere and be glad you did. Again, that's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. All right, interesting. You know, I love the reels, as you guys know. And I happened upon, I guess before we get to that, new music today. If you guys know about this Queen of the Ring movie coming out, do you know about this? So on the soundtrack is going to be a collaboration from Corey Taylor from Slipknot and Stone Sour with Bad Omens, a band that I love. Saw them at the Signal in Chattanooga. They were fabulous. It's Dust in the Wind from Kansas. And it's kind of a haunting rendition. I think you'll dig it. I shared it on Twitter to make it easy for you to find. It's listed under Corey Taylor rather than Bad Omens. I don't know why we can't do both. But nevertheless, I love this song. And there are some songs you say, you know what, maybe you shouldn't mess with. I like this rendition. Nothing will ever compare to the original. But I think that's worth your time. Now, back to the reels. Scrolling through, you know, the algorithm always kind of leads you in the direction you want to go. And I saw a reel, a little bit of a snippet of a video with a band that was kind of out of time, right? Now, I would kind of liken them to Nelson. Remember Nelson, right? After the Rain, Love and Affection. They were kind of like them because of the harmony piece. The harmonies are great with this band. They always have been. Their 16th album is about to come out. Now, this is a band, too, that was kind of doing kind of rock radio pop out of Canada, never really broke in America, but they're a great band. And again, one of the reasons you haven't heard of them is because they're from Canada. And outside of Shannon Tweed and Pam Anderson, there hadn't been a lot of great exports to America from Canada. But this is a band that I think that you guys will dig. And it's so interesting. You know, they came out basically with kind of an 80s sound. Right as grunge was beginning to break and people were kind of moving away from that. They'd already had some success in their native land and over in Japan. I want to read you kind of a quote here that I thought was rather interesting. Because there's an interview where they interviewed Harry Hess, a member of the band Harum Scarum. And they asked him, you know, hey, you guys have had great success in Canada, great success in Japan. They sold over 1 million records. Why do you think, you know, hey, you didn't break in the U.S.? And he says, everything was 2 or 3 years too late when you think of it from a timing perspective. If the first record would have come out in the mid-80s, that would have been better. And I agree. Mood Swings was too late, and Voice of Reason should have hit when grunge hit. We were always late to the party and never smart enough to know what was coming. Most people aren't. That wave knocked out bands like Foreigner. We were playing with them, and we found out they got dropped from the record company. We thought, well, what does that mean for us? We're a long-haired rock band and look like we belonged on a Bon Jovi tour. We're playing pop stuff in the beginning, and then we found more interesting stuff with Mood Swings. And they did. They got a little harder there. We love the darker stuff. We really did. There were some honest mistakes based on us not knowing anything. Our manager at the time was our age and just a friend. Our A&R guy was on his first job. We never had anybody in our camp sit us down and say, hey, this is what you're doing, and this is why it could be a problem. Nobody ever told us anything like that. We learned it the hard way. I should write a book on how to sabotage your career. We even changed the name of the band for a while, and they did. They did some albums under the name Rubber. We did pop records. We did metal records. We did it all. It was a great education, and I don't really regret any of it. If you're asking why it didn't work, I have to tell you that I'm surprised that it worked as well as it did. It was self-sabotage almost every step of the way from a career choice. We were never on the cutting edge. We were always outside looking in. And since that was the case, we always just thought we could just make the records that we wanted to make and be happy and like the music that we were doing. That is what we did. But I can look back at it and see that many strange things went on, and we made many mistakes that were defeatist towards us having a career. We changed our name to Rubber at one point, and that was a very bizarre thing to do. Towards the end, we were probably going through the motions. We hadn't really been a band for 5 years. And so, end quote. So really a nice perspective, too, but it kind of explains there's a lot of talented bands out there that just as music began to evolve, they missed their window. This is one of them. Very talented guys. They have a brand new album coming out. They've already released a couple singles off that album. I think that you're going to like them. I do. If you like the 80s sound, but maybe a little more polished, I think you're going to dig this new album especially. And again, it's Harum Scarum. It's the name of the band. Great name for a band. So we're going to go with the first single off of the new album, Chasing Euphoria, is our number 10 track. It's a track called Reliving History. And it's basically about, hey, we're in a relationship, and we're going to last forever. And then we're going to spend our lives kind of reliving history, too. We're going to be looking back at all the great memories we made. And the harmonies on this are great. It's such a polished sound. Now, number 9, and if you're from the 80s, you know the power ballad, right? This is probably one of the better power ballads that you don't know. It's a track called Whatever It Takes. And it's really what it's about. You know, we were young. We had all these issues. And I think I've kind of proven through my loyalty and my commitment to you that I'll do whatever it takes for us to stay together. And I think that is a super cool track. And I think you'll dig it. If you like the 80s hairband power ballads, you're going to love that one. Number 8, things got a little harder, you know, as Harry told us. After the debut album comes out, they begin to evolve a little bit. And basically, they just kind of bought some new pedals and kind of turned up their amps a bit. It was more of an edge to it. Great track called No Justice. And what it's about is like injustice in the world. You know, sometimes there is no justice in the world. There's some things that happen and you think that there should be some type of consequence, and there rarely is. And when you think about some of the things that are going on in our country right now, not to get too political, listen, I want everybody to get credit for everything they did and didn't do. And if we have people out there that have done things that have been a waste of our tax dollars, they've done things that have victimized women or children, if they have done things out there in their personal lives that are of an inappropriate nature, that involve sex trafficking, I think all of that information should be public. Not the victims' names, but certainly the perpetrators. And I think most people would agree with that. And why would we ever fight to protect people that harm women and children? I think that's one of those things, too, when you take a deep breath and you stop repeating the political rhetoric that you read all day long on Facebook, And you say, you know what, hey, do you think people that go out and rape women should be held accountable? Well, Steve, I mean, come on, what a brave stance, right? My daughter always says it to me. Well, yes, we do. We do. And I don't care who's involved. I don't care who's involved. It could be somebody that I have loved and respected and admired. And if I find out that they were involved in something like that, my relationship with them ends. My adoration for them ends. And I think all people would feel that way. Don't you want to see the JFK files? I do. I want to know what really happened. And these pages about the 9/11 report, I want to know it all. I don't want our government to keep secrets about things like that. I don't. And I don't know where you come down politically, but I think anybody fighting against that is part of the problem. We should want transparency in government, period. Period. Number 7, title track off the Human Nature album. I think you're going to dig this one too. It's not a cover of the Michael Jackson classic. It's a song just Human Nature. And I think you'll dig that one. More of an up-tempo song. Super cool. Number 6, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. The song is kind of, the title is kind of gives the song away. But, that's kind of how life is, right? And I think about those things from time to time. I consider my own mortality. I wrote about that yesterday in a story called Don't Worry About the Mule, Just Load the Wagon. You know, some of the great things that I've been able to encounter over the years covering Mississippi State baseball. But, there will come a time that my time will pass. You know, and none of us know when our expiration date is. We don't. And so I just try to do as much as I can, as well as I can, for as long as I can. And then when the time comes for me to pass away and leave the mantle to somebody else, I'll do so. But my hope is that I've raised the bar to a point that Mississippi State sports coverage will remain among the best in the country. Number 5, great track here. This is a fan favorite too. Track called Blue. Got an interesting intro to it. I think you'll dig it. The guitars on it are pretty cool. And again, it's not the Eiffel 85 cover. It's just a different one. Now, probably my favorite rocker of the old days comes in at number 4. Now, this is a song, too, that I think, had it been released at the right time, would have been a huge hit for this band in the United States. It's got a U.S. sound. You know, it's got that rockin' guitar, edgy appeal to it. And it's a track called Sentimental Boulevard. I think you'll like this one a lot. I think it's one of those ones in your car, you'll probably turn it up a little bit and enjoy that. All right, number 3, going back to the power ballads. This is the best power ballad, I think, in the catalog. Track called Honestly. And no, it's not Stryper's version. It's their own original version. I think you'll dig it. The harmonies in this chorus are super cool. Number 2, really the track that kind of brought me back to Harum Scarum. I didn't even know they were still out there doing music. And saw this just yesterday. And I was like, you know what? I got some things lined up, but I'm going to go do this. And it's the title track from the new album, Chasing Euphoria. And I think in many respects, it's kind of how I live my life. Like I'm a guy, even when I was in the throes of addiction, I was always chasing the rush, right? I just don't ever want to be workaday. I like excitement. I like things that happen. There are times I create my own excitement by staying home and writing things that appeal to me and kind of speak from my heart. I like to always have something going on. I'm not existing, I'm living. And I think this song kind of encapsulates that feeling. You're chasing euphoria. And sometimes that can be a negative thing because if you don't get there, you feel like it's your effort is wasted. But super cool track. But number 1, and I think probably the definitive song from Harum Scarum, going back really to the beginning of the catalog, there's a reason they allowed them to continue to make records. It's a track called Slowly Slipping Away. And the title itself is not really indicative of the track. Like you think, oh, you hear that phrase together and you think, oh, well, this is going to be a depressing song. It's not. It's the opposite. It's like, I can feel the heartbreak slowly slipping away. That's a great moment, right? We've all been there. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you say, you know, I think I'm going to be okay. I think things are going to be okay. They may not necessarily be as I wanted them to be, but I think things are going to be okay. We have all suffered with broken hearts. And that's kind of part of the gig, right? That's part of the human condition. There are going to be people that we love that are going to disappoint us. There are going to be people that we love that don't love us back the way that we love them or perhaps the way that we deserve to be loved. And I don't think you should settle for second best. But I think this song is a really cool song. And again, it's mainly about recovery from a down point in your life. And I think you'll dig the track. I certainly think it's a great thing. And again, a band that, you know, if you're looking for something, maybe something fresh to listen to, maybe a band you're not quite as familiar with, I think this may be the band for you. And certainly, if you know them a little bit, I think you'll enjoy the fact they got new material coming out. And so I certainly think those top four songs are songs that some of you may even have added to your playlist. But I like songs and bands that kind of elevate the spirit, you know, because there's enough in life that kind of brings us down, right? Life is difficult enough as it is. I don't need a soundtrack to remind me of all the rotten things that happen in life. And that's one of the things, honestly, even though I'm a grunge guy, I look back at some of the grunge stuff, that so much of that stuff was so morose and so depressive, you know, and I think that stuff has had an impact. I'm a firm believer in the garbage in, garbage out philosophy, not just from a physical nature, but from a mental and spiritual nature. I think if you are a person that is depressive, I don't think listening to depressing music is going to make you better. That's just me. You know, I'm thinking of my own experience. But there are some songs that I listen to sometimes, I feel like I could just kick a hole in the earth, you know. And I think it's important that what we're listening to at times, there are some songs I just listen to because they rock, right? But there are other songs out there that I listen to that, you know, it's a mood enhancer, right? Right? And it didn't cost me anything. I didn't have to go to a physician, you know, go see a drug dealer, right? Let's go get a mood enhancer by putting a song on that kind of uplifts my spirit. And I think this band is one of those. I think it's one of those bands that writes in a positive nature and maybe comes down on the brighter side of life. So be sure and check them out. You'll be glad you did. If you have an idea for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti, my friend, at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67 on Twitter or X, and you can find our great list under that same handle on Spotify. If you're a Spotify person, just hit subscribe. You'll be glad you did. And our list will just kind of auto-populate for you. It's so cool, too. Like, I have some baseball parents that'll reach out and say, hey, I added a song to my workout playlist or to my yard playlist or my driving playlist. And so we like to turn you on to new music, and of course we get this kind of rehash stuff from time to time. But I love it when we get a chance to talk to a band that maybe you're not quite as aware of. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you're looking for Mississippi State apparel, look no further than Campus Bookmart. They have all the gifts you need for all the Bulldogs in your life, whether it be a new hoodie, a t-shirt, perhaps that maroon casual dress. Maybe you need some tailgating supplies. Maybe you need some things just to kind of demonstrate your fandom in your fan cave at home. Or perhaps your office, your RV. Maybe you want to outfit your pet. You know, they can take care of all that stuff for you. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job at Campus Bookmart. So next time you're in town, go by and see them and see their smiling faces. If you can't make it to town, you can still support a Starkville business. And you love Starkville. Let's keep Starkville great. And support our local vendors, you can do so online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. It gets you free shipping on all orders over $75, any order less than $75. Absolutely incomplete. All right, men's basketball, that was tough, man. And it makes it worse, right, when you know it's going to happen, right? As I touched on earlier in the show, it's the worst matchup in the conference for us. It just is a terrible, terrible matchup for us. So, but all is not lost. You know, we still have an opportunity to do some good things. We're still projected. Again, I've seen some people have us as a 5, some as a 6 in the tournament. I think I'd almost want to be the 6, to be honest with you. But nevertheless, last night was not good. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it because, you know, we lose that game at our place, 88-84, a game that we feel like we should have won, right? We didn't surprise them over in Tuscaloosa. And I don't know what it is. Well, we've lost 8 straight now against Alabama. It's just not great. 111-73. And, you know, Chris Jan said, you know, we got to be better defensively. And, Chris, I agree because that's kind of been our calling card. But we have just at times really struggled with whatever we're doing schematically defensively against teams that can consistently shoot well from beyond the arc. It's just – it is what it is, right? So real quickly, we'll just kind of hit the high points here, what there were. Bulldogs now 19-9 overall and 7-8 in the Southeastern Conference. Alabama moves ahead to 23-5, 12-3 in the league. And this thing was over at the break. We're down 53-27 at the break. We have a better offensive half in the second half, but a worse defensive half, if you could imagine that. It's a rarity to give up 50 points in a half. We did it twice in one game. We lose 111-73. And, guys, it just was never, ever, ever at any point did you feel like, hey, you know, State's going to come out here and show these guys what they're about. I mean, goodness, they come down the very first possession and they're shooting a three. They didn't make it. But if Cam Matthews hits a three to get us out there, and then from there, it just, you know, it was kind of nip and tuck. And then all of a sudden you look up and it's like State can't really get anything going. They take the lead, I guess for good, at 9-7. And the next thing you know, it's they're off to the races. And they've doubled us up in next to no time. I mean, in the second half of that first half was absolutely bloody. Absolutely incredible how poor that thing went for us. But, again, I'm not going to make you relive it. Hub with 21 points, 3 of 12 from beyond the arc. Also handed out 4 assists. R.J. Melendez with 11 points. Again, R.J., as of late, has been very steady and solid for us. Cam Matthews, of course, gets that first big three and has 6 points on the night. Michael Nwoko with 6. And this is becoming a recurring theme. We have got to get better offensive production from the starting lineup. It can't just be Hubbard and one. You got to have a third scorer in the lineup. And I don't just mean Keyshawn coming off the bench. We'll get to him in a second. But how many times have we talked about Nwoko and Cam Matthews both being single-digit scorers? Riley Kugel with 4 points. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, it's been a disappointing year when you think about what our expectations of Kugel were. And maybe that's our fault. Maybe we expected too much from him. But 4 points as a starter is not going to get it done. Keyshawn Murphy, we say it every show, where would we be without Keyshawn Murphy? 18 points, 11 rebounds, and 27 minutes of action. He was State's most consistent player last night. Sean Jones, 3 points. Claudell Harris, 2. You know, and we can't have Claudell come up missing in games like this. Martavius Russell saw some time, got a couple points. Delcon Warren, 7 minutes. Harrison Alexander also got on the floor some. So it's good to kind of reward those guys, but not great. And quickly look at the Alabama side. I mean, Chris Youngblood with 27, Sears with 21, LeBaron Fillon with 10, Aiden Holloway with 13. You know, guys, they had 5 players in double digits and scored 111 points. It's a brutal thing, man. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And you look, I mean, they're shooting 55% from beyond the arc in the first half. If I told you they shot 44, you'd say, wow, that's what they shot in the second half. They were even better in the first half. And they took even more threes in the second half with the game in hand, which says a little something too, you know. But it's behind us, and now we focus on what's ahead. And again, you know, the big problem with all this is it kind of erodes our fan, even though we expect to lose, it kind of erodes our confidence level in our ability to do well in the tournament. And obviously, if we run into Alabama, it's going to be, you know, probably going to be lights out for us. But, you know, now we just kind of focus on the fact we got LSU coming in. And, that, you know, that's our focus. You got 3 games left. 2 of them are at home. We need to win them both. And then Arkansas kind of becomes a bonus. But we have to beat LSU. We talked about it. You can get 2021 wins. Finish 500 in this league, you'd be in great shape. You got LSU, and we'll talk about that more on the Friday show. But with 3 games left to play, we are still in a good position. It may not feel like it after last night, but we are. Find a way to get, you know, two of those last three, and you finish up the year 21-10, 9-9 in this conference. And I think at the beginning of the year, if we said, hey, we're going to get 20-plus wins and finish 500 in the league in a historic year within this league, you'd say, yes, Steve, I'll take it. I'll take it because that means I'm back in the dance and I think we're capable of making a run, provided we get the right matchup. But, yeah, last night was more endured than enjoyed. I think everybody sees it for what it is. But we'll preview the LSU game on the weekend show, as you guys are well aware. But, I wanted to quickly kind of look at last night's action. We didn't talk baseball, kind of what the midweek was in baseball. But we're going to do it here for men's basketball. And maybe you've seen Texas State beat Texas A&M, number one Texas A&M last night. I think Aggies have lost two in a row. Is that right? I think that's right. They lose to Cal Poly, and then they lose to Texas State. But this is a basketball segment, so we're going to talk basketball. And, just kind of looking back, last night, I guess we get caught up on the midweek games. We'll see here how it looks. But a huge win last night for Georgia, is they take down number 3 Florida, 88-83. They even had Kirby Smart out there doing some crowd control. Gators dropped 24-4, 11-4 in the league. Georgia, huge win. 51 points and a half, right? But they hang on to win. They get outscored by 11 in the second half, but kind of coasted down the stretch to win that game. They're now 17-11, 5-10 in the league. It kind of, again, shows you, it shows you what kind of league it is. And a number 3 team in the country can go into a team that's 4-10 in the league that's just a few games above 500 and lose. It's crazy. Tennessee, competitive game against LSU. The Tigers 14-14 overall now and 3-12 in the league. But they host Tennessee, and then Tennessee escapes with a six-point win. Zakai Ziegler with 17 points for the Volunteers. So, again, LSU 500 now. South Carolina and Missouri. This Missouri team is hard to figure out. I can never really tell what's going on with them. But I begin to think they're capable of beating anybody. And they may be capable of losing anybody. But when those guys are playing well, it's outstanding. A 30-point win over South Carolina. It's in Como. But still, 101-71. You don't see a lot of 100-point games in the SEC. Of course, we saw two last night. But it's interesting. This Missouri team may be like the dark horse team in the tournament because they're clearly well coached. And you look up and it's like, holy smokes. They're in a Sweet 16. They're certainly capable. Tonight, for those of you that want to see some men's basketball action, you've got a lot of choices. Vanderbilt is at Texas A&M, number 12, Texas A&M. That could be an interesting matchup. Vanderbilt's been tougher at home than on the road. If you're looking for a way to maybe feel better about yourself, maybe watch this Ole Miss game against Auburn at Auburn. I know you're rooting that Auburn does to them what Alabama did to us, and they may. Ole Miss, of course, a pretty decent perimeter shooting team. But, we need them to lose. We're trying to catch them in the standings, and it doesn't help us when we lose. But we need them to lose and give us an opportunity. Your schedule a bit more difficult than ours down the stretch. Texas, after you get done watching the Auburn-Ole Miss game, you can switch over and watch Texas and Arkansas. Of course, we'll play both of those guys in the final week of the season. They're going to be on ESPN 2 tonight. That game's in Fayetteville. And then Kentucky and Oklahoma on the network at 8 p.m. So plenty of basketball to watch tonight, for sure. There's some baseball out there, too. And I tell you, we didn't do it, but I want to do it now. Let's look at last night's baseball scores, just because of the fact sometimes, misery loves company. I'm not going to sit here and qualify that the what wasn't a bad loss. All losses are bad. Just some are worse than others. Told you guys before, I hate losing more than I love winning. Speaking of winners, Arkansas gets Grambling 14-3 in seven innings last night. Kentucky all over Evansville 24-3. Midweek pitching for the Purple Aces, not so great. They're 1-6 overall this year. Remember last year they were a game away from Omaha. Pretty nuts. But Kentucky now 5-1 on the year, pound out 17 hits. North Alabama, you may have, if you kept up with my Monday columns about how the Diamond Dog opponents fared, North Alabama took the series from Army in week one. Guys, they went to Knoxville last night and made this thing really interesting. And Tennessee jumps on them early and gets a 5-0 lead, stretches that out to 6. And from there, it was kind of a North Alabama game. They get 2 in the third, Tennessee answers, and then Tennessee doesn't score the remaining 6 innings of the ball game. And North Alabama just kind of starts tacking on. Next thing you know, they lose 7-5 to Tennessee, one of the most prolific offenses in the country. North Alabama played them pretty close. Speaking of playing close, Missouri, everybody that plays them is going to have an opportunity to win. Lindenwood nearly pulls it off in Como last night. They score 4 in the first, and then Missouri answers back to win 14-10, the decisive inning, 5 there in the 7th. But a barn burner of a game, for sure. And if, in case you paid attention, Ole Miss jumped on Southern Miss last night. Southern tried to get up off the mat, and Ole Miss knocked them back down. Ole Miss now 7-1, win the game 15-8. And in addition, Ole Miss made 4 errors in the game, or it probably would have been worse. Alabama takes down Jacksonville State 22-11. Of course, Troy gets us 6-5. Oklahoma 15-4 winners over Texas Southern. Oklahoma now 7-0. Vanderbilt 16-3 winners over Tennessee Tech. And the Golden Eagles up there, not a bad squad either. They're 6-3 on the year. Florida and Stetson, the Gators win 6-1. You know, Stetson, a very solid mid-major. South Carolina, 10-run rules, Gardner-Webb, 14-4. Auburn and Samford, kind of a wild one for a while, but Auburn was able to settle the game in later innings to win 15-8. Samford now 3-5 on the year. The Tigers, 8-1. And, of course, Texas State, Alex Valentin goes in there and shoves 4 2/3 of an inning. And guys, Texas State gets down 2-0 or 2-1 in this ball game, and then basically took over. 5 in the third, 1 in the 5th, and you look up late. A&M scores 1 run in the 9th. I don't know what's happening with Texas A&M's offense, but going into Tuesday's action, they had the fewest number of hits in the Southeastern Conference. They have 7 last night and lose Texas State 7-3. Texas beats Incarnate Word 6-0 in their ball game. And if you're looking for some baseball action tonight, let's see here. I think there is a little bit. Yes, Georgia and Georgia State will get underway at 3 o'clock today. Slater Alford hitting 423, got 1 tank, 11 ribbies. Morehead State is at Kentucky. Texas Southern at Oklahoma, North Florida at Florida, LSU, and Dallas Baptist will play at 7 p.m. in Arlington as part of the college baseball series. So kind of an interesting midweek matchup for the Tigers. So plenty of entertainment tonight if you are so inclined on the men's basketball and the college baseball side. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. It's nice to have 6 bedrooms and 2 baths at your disposal, soon to be 3, but the reality of it is it's not even about that. It's about having a chance to get everybody together under one roof. The older I get, the more that matters to me. My family is still growing. You know, obviously, we're getting a new grandchild coming here in a few months, but the reality of it is I love to be able to watch my children interact with each other and their nieces. I love to make that convenient. And it's by being the dad, you know, it's like, hey, this is kind of cool. We need to make sure we get everybody together in a house that's big enough to accommodate all of us. You know, but you don't have to have a big group. You can go out there and stay by yourself. It doesn't make any difference to them. But the reality of it is if you're bringing a group to town, rather than go out and get 5 or 6 hotel rooms, just stay together. It's a better part of life is time spent together. We say it all the time. We don't get together enough. Will you be the organizer within your friend or family group and you plan the trip and say, hey, this is what we're thinking and here are the weekends that are available. Which one is more convenient for you? And book a trip. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back porch area, the fire pit area, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. What's better than that? You know, everything in town is close. But the reality of it is you'll be even closer to campus than most, and you'll have the opportunity to do your tailgating right there. True. Now, you can book through Airbnb, you can book through VRBO, it's completely up to you. But if you want to save some money, let me help you book through the Evolve website. Promo code BSR10, that's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you get a discount. We're keeping it in the family as best we can. Be sure and check it out. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, women's basketball will be in action again before we get together again. Number one, Texas, headed to Starkville. And we've got the free column over at jeanspage.com right now of Sam Purcell talking about Vic Schaefer's return and kind of what he thinks of the Longhorns. And nobody playing better basketball right now than Texas. And, you know, I feel about this game kind of like I do about the Alabama game. And I don't think Vic will try to embarrass us, though I thought Alabama did a little bit last night. But, you know, kind of is what it is, you know. I mean, Texas is a much better team than us. I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. There's a reason we play the games. But the Texas Longhorns are number one for a reason. They're 14-0 at home, 9-2 away in true road games, 4-0 on neutral floor. 4-0 on a neutral floor, but 27-2 overall, 13-1 in the Southeastern Conference. And, you know, we'll run through it real quick here. But, yeah, non-conference schedule, for the most part, was a pretty pedestrian. A couple of big wins in there. But, you know, you get Southeast Missouri, Lamar, DePaul, Tarleton State, New Mexico State, Butler. You get number 10 West Virginia down in Estero, Florida, as part of the Gulf Coast Showcase, and they win that game by 5. They go to Notre Dame, lose, one of their only losses of the year. And then it's James Madison, and then Southern, and Richmond, and LaSalle, and South Dakota State, Texas, Rio Valley Grande. And then you get an SEC play. So, again, not a real challenge in non-conference schedule. And you're going to make it up in conference play, right? You're not worried about the RPI. And so you open up going to Oklahoma, the rivalry game, the Red River Shootout on the women's basketball side. They win that by 7. They blast Arkansas. They host Alabama, who was 18 at the time, and beat them by 44. Again, they go to South Carolina, lose, bounce back at Auburn, and then they get number 8 Maryland. They win that game substantially by 38 points. You host Tennessee, who was nicely ranked at the time at 17. You win that game by 4. You go to Oxford and win. You beat Missouri by 9. You go to A&M, win that rivalry game by 20. Vanderbilt came in feeling good about themselves. You get them by 21. And then you get South Carolina. It's your place, and you win. You protect the home court. Impressive. Go to Lexington, tough place to play. Win that game by 18. LSU, it's a 7-point victory in favor of the Longhorns. They go to Georgia on Monday and beat them 57-26. 2 games left, and Texas will win them both at Mississippi State and then against Florida. You know, Florida not very good. But kind of looking inside the numbers here to kind of get you ready. You know, we're going to approach this like we do every other game, even though we don't expect to win. We're going to give our team their due. But again, the Vic Schaefer experience has been based on defense, right? They press and press and press and press and press. They're allowing 55 points per game. That's it. Scoring about 82 per game. So outscoring opponents by over 26 points a game. And you heard the numbers, even in Southeastern Conference play. And the conference from top to bottom maybe isn't as strong as it has been. But, you know, the top half of this league still pretty formidable, and Texas really has just kind of run through them. We got two losses on the year, South Carolina at South Carolina, and then Notre Dame. And neither of those games happened in Austin, Texas. Now, granted, this one isn't either, but it's going to be interesting. And I suspect we'll have a good crowd. There'll be a lot of people who turn out, you know, because Vic's coming back. And it's just interesting to me how this all kind of has unfolded. Shooting 47% from the field, allowing 38%. Three-point percentage around 30%. You know, I mean, they dominate the post. They got good size. Allowing just 27% from beyond the arc. If we're going to be competitive in this game, we're going to have to make some shots from three. We got to make our shots count. You know, we have some times, too, that we kind of run short. But, you know, they're just not a big three-point shooting team. Making 3.3 per game. Opponents 3.6. And a lot of that's because they're, you know, playing from behind. Rebounding has been a strength, pulling down about 40 a game, allowing about 30. We're going to need Medina Okot to have a great game for us to make this competitive. Team basketball, always a tenet of the Vic Schaefer experience. Almost 17 per game, allowing just over 9. Turnovers, a product of that press, right? Texas forcing right at 22 a game. Giving it away about 13 times, so about a 9 turnover differential per game. 26.2 points per game off turnovers. Vic hadn't changed. Still the same hard-nosed brand of basketball they've always had. 318 steals, their opponents just 196, so about a 4-5 differential. They will block the shot, 151 on the year, 5 a game. Opponents just 2.5. Played in front of some big crowds. They're not going to be intimidated to go anywhere and play. Of course, former Bulldog Madison Booker, 16.2 points per game, leading the charge for the Longhorns. Of course, the relationship was with Vic, so when Vic left, she went with him. Taylor Jones pitching in 12.6. And from there, it's pretty evenly distributed. I mean, they've got, you know, Rory Harmon and Kyla Oldacre right there just beneath double figures. But there are several contributors to this team. They have a tremendous amount of depth. And that has kind of translated over to SEC play too. Now, by and large in the SEC, it's been the same four for the most part, but they have rotated some other players around kind of depending on matchups. You know, Shea Holly, he started all 14 games, has his Harmon, Jones, and Booker. But in SEC play, you look at the numbers and say, well, you know, maybe it'll be a differential. No, it's not. I mean, they're playing with the same proficiency in SEC play that they played in non-conference. Still with Booker at 15.3 and then Taylor Jones at 13.8. And then it's a cast of characters all making an offensive contribution throughout the ballgame. In SEC play, rebounding has been a real strength for Madison Booker. 103. She leads the team, and then there's Taylor Jones right behind her with 96. Pulled down 546 boards in SEC play, and you've got two players that have, you know, accounted for about, you know, 200 of them, 199 to be exact. So we've got our work cut out for us. Going to be a difficult night. It's going to be an interesting night because, you know, Vic's back. I want to thank you all, too, for making The Dude currently the number 3 book on the Mississippi bestsellers list. We hadn't been in number 1 yet. We flirted with it a little bit, but the book doing exceptionally well. And I appreciate you guys, as always, supporting Mississippi's independent bookstores. And, of course, you can find the book at dutynoblebook.com along with all my sports titles. But I love it when you're out and about in the state of Mississippi. You buy it from those independent bookstore folks. You know, of course, we'd love for you to buy it online from us, and sometimes it's difficult to get here and shop. But, you know, Bookmart and Cafe downtown, obviously, Lemuria Books and so many others. But, you know, the world of book sales is a little different. You know, there's the declining bookstore sale. And so I encourage you, whether you're buying my books or other people's books, to buy from independent bookstores, whether they be in Mississippi or throughout the country, because those people have done a tremendous job kind of keeping our literary heritage alive here in the United States, and encourage you to support them, even if it costs you a couple bucks more. I mean, just because of the fact that, you know, these people running Amazon, they've made their millions, but it's a meal for those people that run those independent bookstores. You know, it's a ballet lesson. You know what I'm saying? It's a few bucks towards a Disney trip. It's a much different deal. And so I encourage you, eat local, shop local. As a small business owner, I can tell you how much that stuff matters. And speaking of that, you know, the wife's business is doing well, but we'd love for you to come float too. Dial 662-268-7601 and get all your questions answered. If you suffer with chronic pain or anxiety or you just need a break, we may be able to help you too. Dana was a registered nurse, still is a registered nurse, but runs the spa full time now. And I've been open a little bit over a year. We've got some people that have been with us the whole year. We're very grateful for them. But whether you're in town or just looking for something neat to do, or perhaps you've got some problems, we can help you. It's a very unique experience. Very first time I floated, I began the process to buy a franchise the next day because I wanted all of you to have the opportunity to experience this. Super cool. Super, super cool. You'd be glad you did it. And jeanspage.com right now, first month for a buck, just $1. And, of course, that gets you through March Madness and, of course, into SEC play on the baseball side. So jeanspage.com, first month for a dollar. Yeah, that's it's a great deal for sure. Come check us out. Come be a part of our merry band of maroon misfits over at jeanspage.com. You'll be glad you did. Nobody's going to give you better coverage than we are. That's a fact, not an opinion. Matter of fact, as we were, the little buzz you heard about 2 minutes ago, that was my credential pickup information for Houston. I'm leaving in the morning, and Dana has a younger sister that lives out there, so I'll be staying with her and covering the games. I can't wait to be there, and again, I plan to be there all weekend long, but if I get tired, I'll just go home and record your Friday show. But we'll get it to you. I don't know if it's Thursday night or Friday, but we will get you a weekend show. I'm leaning more towards the Friday because we can get through women's basketball Thursday, have that to talk about, and have our game with Rice to discuss as well on Friday night. That's the current expectation. But again, got some cool content coming up for you on Thursday. I'll write it tonight. We'll post it tomorrow as I travel. I can't leave you guys hanging. This is not how I operate, man. I just can't do it. I don't take much time off, and when I do, I still pre-write content to ensure that you guys get your money's worth from us over at jeanspage.com. So we'll talk to you late Friday. That's the plan. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.